Good afternoon. I'm George Friswell from the University of Arizona. This is work that started out as a master's thesis from Gan Jin, who's now happily in Hawaii, not dealing with any cold right now, or cotton, actually. But we're going to talk about weather extremes and acreage abandonment. And we got interested in this because there was a passel of studies that came out that were looking at weather and climate and the effect it was having on yields. In fact, there was a big paper that was highly cited in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, and it was looking at how weather extremes were affecting harvested crop yields, so yield per harvested acre. And it struck me that no one was really looking at how weather extremes affect abandonment, which essentially is, you know, yields going to zero. And this is a big deal. So I started to kind of look at, you know, well, how do weather extremes affect abandonment, which seems to have been, you know, not really looked at very much. Here's an example of total abandoned acres in U.S. cotton. And you can see that 2011 was a particularly bad year. And these costs are pretty large. Now, there's different ways one could estimate what's the cost of abandonment. So what this is, I came up with, this is the lost resource cost. So this is all the fixed costs that went into producing cotton that didn't get any cotton. So this is all the seed, this is all the plowing. These are just resources that society used to produce cotton and got nothing for it. Now, there's other ways you could measure. You know, this isn't even counting the fact that society had less cotton at the end of the day. So this is just the loss in terms of inputs that were used that didn't go to anything productive. And you could see that it got up to almost $1 billion in 1 year alone. Now, of course, non-irrigated acres accounts for a larger share of abandoned production, even though non-irrigated upland cotton is only about 52% of acreage. Recently, it was more than three-quarters of non-irrigated upland. And you're going to look at this and go, well, that's not surprising at all. What was surprising, when I actually looked at literature on factors determining crop abandonment, I couldn't find a single one that had irrigation as an explanatory variable, which kind of also struck me as really bizarre. And so one of the things we did was we're looking at a double hurdle model. We have county level data. And basically, there's the first stage of the model is, did the county have any abandoned acres at all? So there's a lot of counties that are highly irrigated. For example, in Arizona, California, you can have counties that don't have any abandoned acres. Basically, all the planted acres are harvested. That's not uncommon in California and Arizona. In our sample, there's about a quarter of the observations had no abandonment. Then we looked at, given if you do have abandonment, how bad could it be? Because we know in Texas, there were a lot, in 2011 especially, there were really, really high levels countywide. We have a semi-log model because basically it's, you get this really skewed kind of distribution. So it's a log normal model. So we did this double hurdle model. Basically, there's kind of, do you have any abandonment at all, and how bad is it once you have it? And we had, this is NAS data where you could actually separate out within each county whether there was acreage that was irrigated or non-irrigated. For a lot of states, they don't actually split out whether it's irrigated or not. We just took the states where either we knew it was all irrigated, like Arizona, or where the data actually split it out. And actually, in terms of abandoned acreage, Oklahoma and Texas combined account for a huge bulk of it. We did it for about two decades, and we split the acreage up into irrigated, non-irrigated, and upland and Pima. And as I said before, most of the previous studies don't have irrigation in there, which, you know, you think this should be obvious. It shouldn't be an innovation, but it appears that it is. What do we have as variables? We had seasonal temperature, seasonal rainfall, deviations from normal. There's a big difference. This paper isn't about climate or climate change. It's about weather. Climate is what you expect things to be, you know, year in, year out. weather is when we walk outside, like today in New Orleans, and you're surprisingly cold. That's weather. Weather is what you go out and feel. So these are seasonal weather variables. We also wanted to account for the fact that how do deviations from normal matter? So, for example, Arizona is a lot drier than Louisiana, but people in Arizona know that, and they have irrigation. So there's the effects of temperature and rainfall being different, but then there's also the effect of it being wetter or drier than normal. Okay. So we also look at change in expected cotton price. What happens if cotton prices tank from planting time to harvest time? We do that by measuring changes in the future market price over the planting season, and then crop variety differences. Okay, so the first stage is the probit regression. Basically, it's 0 equals 1 if the county had any abandoned acres at all. And then the season 1, 2, 3 is spring, winter, spring, summer, fall. And we have basically it's temperature and precip numbers and those numbers squared. So not surprisingly, if you have irrigated cotton, that really reduces abandonment. Now drought, this measure is basically, it's based the standard precipitation index. So over the first 9 months of the year, was it drier than normal for that area? So there's the effect of, you know, did it rain, did it not? And then what was the absolute level of rainfall? But then was that level of rainfall in that county, you know, more or less than average? And then again, if price drops between May and September, then that's basically has a negative coefficient, so that's the price differential. So if the price drops over the growing season, then abandonment goes up. The adjusted count R square in a probit model, basically that's a measure of how much better does your model predict than just picking the mode, the most common value. So it's like, you know, if I think 3/4 of the counties had some abandonment. So if I just didn't know and I just said 100% of them have some abandoned acres, the model actually reduces that error by about 25%. So it's kind of a measure of how well the model does just by, you know, from picking the most common observation. Now the semi-log, so this is the log of the percent abandoned, given that you have abandoned. So it's like the first stage is, did you have any abandoned acres at all? If you did, then how bad is it? And again, irrigation reduces the severity of abandonment. Basically, you have lower or higher than normal precipitation, that increases it, and then price drops through the growing season also increase that. So you can look at marginal effects. Going through this morning, I realized some slides I'm about to show you aren't quite right. So you can look at the abandonment rate as kind of the sum of two effects. What's the probability that you have any acres abandoned? And given that that happens, how bad could it be? And then there's also adjustments for the fact that when you're doing a log normal model, when you transfer it back to the predicted value, you have to make an adjustment because the expectation of the log isn't the same as the log of the expectation. So here's a marginal effect of summer precipitation. Basically, kind of more precipitation is good, but you get beyond a certain point and it's bad. You notice that the effect is pretty small for irrigated upland and Pima. All the Pima acres are irrigated. But one of the things you'll notice is that irrigated cotton is going to be in this low precip region and non-irrigated cotton is going to be in the wetter thing. And why this is important is we were presenting this at some point. Actually, Gon was doing it for his thesis and someone said, oh, well, if there's climate change, you're going to have, this huge increase in abandoned acres in these areas. And it's like, no. Because this is weather, this isn't climate. This is an area with a dry climate. This is an area with a wet climate. So if climate were to change, you're not going to go from here to here. People are going to start irrigating. They're going to make some kind of adjustment. So you have to be very, very careful when people look at models of what would climate change possibly do. They kind of have what I call a dumb farmer assumption. They don't assume that people are going to change technologies or where they produce cotton or that type of thing in response to changes over the long term. Here's a marginal effect of drier than normal years. Again, this is what was kind of funky. I was looking at this morning. I go, this just doesn't look right, because basically it's saying drier than normal is bad, but it doesn't change. It's just like a 0-1 jump effect. Then I realized that, well, this is a partial differential. Because if I'm changing summer precip, I'm also changing this variable at the same time. And so what we have to do is kind of go back. If you actually changed rainfall, it would not only change the precip variable, but it's also going to change this thing relative to normal. So we've got to monkey around with that a little bit more. Again, wetter than normal years, this kind of fits expectations a little bit more. And one of the things you see is that basically, not surprisingly, that irrigation is very protective against vagaries of the weather, which is nothing that should be too surprising. So summing up, again, I didn't think it was all that innovative. People haven't really included irrigation in models of crop abandonment, and it's hugely important. And we can get a first step to actually quantifying how much irrigation is important. We can also start to identify thresholds where people are going to start changing irrigation practices. You know, if you wanted to look at what were the climate, you know, effects of climate change. The other thing is that both absolute levels of precipitation matter and also deviations from normal. So it's not just that whether it's wet or dry, or it's wetter or drier than what people expect. And again, price drops after planting also encourage abandonment. That's it.
We got time for a question or two.
Yeah.
Very last point. Do you think that's because of the margin of value product? Cotton's worth less, so you're not to put inputs in it, so it's going to be abandoned? Or could it possibly be because the price is dropping within the season, it decided it was a very, very high insurance price way back at the beginning, and that's somehow encouraging abandonment?
We were kind of telling the story that it's like, oh yeah, the marginal returns are dropping. We kind of a next area of research is to look at like how this affects with crop insurance policies. And there's other, like Mario Miranda at Ohio State has been looking at how does crop insurance kind of for this round. We kind of told that first story, but yeah, the next round of research would be to look at how this interacts with insurance. Yeah.
Well, I mean, in reality, it's the same story. What you're saying is that normally, if you're looking at the marginal value product at that point in time, so as long as it covers the next stage of production cost, you continue to do it. Mm-hmm. But with insurance, all of a sudden it takes it out of that marginal value product decision, because now you're saying, oh, I can recapture this whole value by abandoning, as opposed to making the marginal decision for the next stage of the
product. Right. And I guess, someone was mentioning, I guess, in the morning about, you know, at some point, do you keep plowing inputs into a crop that's going to fail anyway? There's certainly work to be done to look at how insurance markets affect these decisions. Okay?